Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Now today I'll be speaking on the topic, what can you see? What can you see? One of the things that many Christians lack is not vision per se, it is visualization. It is not only visualization, it is the ability to situate themselves in right in the middle of the vision or the promises or the word that they have received from God for their life. So God tells somebody, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to give you a name that is above everyone in all over the world. And the person will sit in one corner, expecting that thing will happen all by itself. In the whole of scripture, I can tell you two people or three that happened. That just happened by itself. They didn't do nothing. Look at the life of Joseph, for example, you will see that he's becoming the prime minister of Egypt. When you look at it from a minimalist perspective, those who don't consider the intricate details of things, but they will just look at the major leaps in somebody's life, they will present the case to you as if it was all God's doing. They will say, oh, look at Joseph. Did he have any connection with him? Did he know anybody? Is he not those God that made him what he became? That's what they will say. See, 100% Joseph had no connection, no bearing, nothing. But God just elevated him from prison to prime minister. That's what they will say. But that is a minimalist way of thinking. They think in terms of very little. Just look at the red points on the things of somebody's life. And then they pick their achievements without looking at intricate details. But when you look at intricate details of Joseph's life, you will see that Joseph worked hard to become the prime minister of Egypt. He didn't know that was what he was working for, but he worked at. How? You will see that naturally, as a Christian, he wasn't supposed to have any form of enthusiasm towards work, towards being productive, towards being the best of himself. A lot of people that I know with great potentials in life, they do not get to prison and shine. Only a few will go to prison and get a PhD. Only a few will go to prison and write a book or two. Only a few will go to prison and compose songs and release songs from prison. A lot of people, once they get into prison, basically they are too distraught. Either they are guilty or not of some matter, they are too distraught, they are too broken, too depressed to ever even think, to achieve something, to ever think of a narrative with the outside world anymore. The case of Joseph, this was not the case. The case of Joseph, it was very different. Joseph had a very unique approach to his destiny. God has shown him what his future would be like when he was 13 years old. He had seen that he was going to be great in the future. He had seen it. So it is important then to see. He had seen it. Now, the pathway into that success, he may not be able to plot it out by himself. In fact, it was taken right out of his hand. Because if they had left him to plot out his own life step by step, stage by stage, he would have still ended up either as Prime Minister of Egypt or as the leader of his father's house, or as a king somewhere. It was written in his destiny that he was going to be a leader of leaders. He would have found one of the probable pathways of destiny to fulfill the purpose of God. But it was taken out of his hand. He was first sold into slavery in Potiphar's house to Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites seriously wouldn't have given him any consideration beyond that of his slave, an investment that they needed to recoup and gain profit from. They will give him food and water, but only to feed him until they find somebody that can buy him. And eventually, Potiphar bought him and he came into Potiphar's household as a slave. But the Bible said the Potiphar's household that he proved himself to be an astute manager, to be a steward, that Potiphar himself had to say to him, "Guy, take over all the affairs of my house." That is hard work. Hard work when there is no hope of payment. He wasn't trying to work hard so that he could buy his freedom. He was working hard. He was applying himself so that he could be the best of himself. The price was, I want to be the best of myself. I want to better myself. I want to better myself. He wasn't looking at, he wasn't doing it in exchange for money, in exchange for anything. And that shows you that the internal structures of Joseph's character was intact. He had learned that it is not always what is in it for me. A lot of people, that is their primary goal. A brother told me about the business he set up. I saw this brother maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago in Lagos, and he came to see me. The meeting was around, he got to me around after my class, 11 p.m. PSSBC class, he got around 11:30, and we sat down to just talk. He's a pastor. And as soon as I sat down, I began to talk. He was telling me the things that had happened in the last few months, and we were catching up. And as we were doing this, he spoke about certain people that I know. And he said, "I wanted to do this for them. I wanted to do this for them. This was my plan." But they couldn't see it. They kept calling me every 2 days. "Hey, you have not given us a letter. We want to know how much you'll be paying us." He said their eyes were only on the money. Meanwhile, I had told him sometime last year or thereabout, I had spoken to this brother, and I had spoken to him about the people around him. I said, "See, you are surrounded by certain kinds of people, and all of them are remained in the same spots, right, for a long time. And it is not seeming, it's not good of a leader." I said, "Those who are around me, you can look at them and say, ah, okay, you can see progress, measurable, discernible." I said, "But it's not good. No matter how much you give people, people will talk. People will say, ah, how can this one person be this blessed? And all those around him are beggarly in their disposition. When I come around you, these guys come to me to beg me for money. It's not good. I cannot imagine you coming around me and anybody around me will come to you to say, 'Pastor, please bless us.'" I said, "Nobody. You come around all the time, you bring your team. Have you ever seen your team members? Have you ever seen my team members come to you and say, 'Pastor, we need transfer money, or we need anything?' My team members will never do that. It has never been done once. Nobody from my end come to your end writing letter to for welfare or for support or for house rent or for 'please help us.' Nobody from my side. But from your side, people would reach out to me begging for house rent, begging for food, begging for this. And then I will come around, the members of your team would still come to me to beg for money." I said, there is a problem here. And that problem is not from me, it is from you. You need to be deliberate about making sure that those who surround you are okay. That they wouldn't need, this culture that I've seen has to stop. It is not befitting." So we had a lengthy discussion. And he then said, "When you spoke to me like that, I decided to implement certain things." He said, "And these things I had laid them down, how it will work, how I would do them. But when I read that to them and I said, 'Okay, you guys, these are the plot, this is the plan, this is what to do, do it, I have to travel.'" He said, "I was just receiving messages. 'Hey, how much is in it for us? Hey, we need,'" he said, "but I mean, I cannot work with people like that. I think I just need to change those who are surrounding me. I cannot work with people like that. They cannot." He said, "Is that how it is for you?" I said, "No." And that is sincerely so. I said, "No, that's not how it is for me. I do not have people like that. God is good to me." I said that. Glory to God. Oh, God has been good to me. God is ever good to me. God has surrounded me with the best of the best of the best. I could sleep with my two eyes closed. And I would, and this will be done. And this will be done for me without stress. People will go all out. They will do things I cannot even think of. If I sat down and I began to plan, I cannot even plan those things by myself. They will come up with ideas. They will execute them. They will just come and inform, but I think, we think we should do this. We've already done it. We just want to integrate it. We think we should do that. Okay, but I think, I don't want people to be registering this way anymore. So we've now come up with a plan to work with PayPal and whatever to do. No, even we just come to me and they will solve problems. And I will just sit down and enjoy Jesus. But on the other end of the divide, I have a brother that he has to do everything by himself. And those around him are not coming up with fresh ideas or good ideas. And so it is not, his ministry was not moving the way it should. And so he came to give me a report and we were talking. And I realized something, that the vision, he didn't sell the vision to them the right way. Instead of seeing his vision, they were seeing him. Instead of seeing his vision, they were seeing him. Well, people around me don't see me, they see the vision. They know me, they love me, but oftentimes I disappear. So it's not about when I look at me now, and I'm not around every Sunday. If I sometimes know in our own services, I will dodge. I will not, you know how people will dodge church. I dodge our church. I say, come now, attend this service today. I will dodge our own church. I will do it deliberately. I will dodge church. My brother will call me. I didn't see your service today. I say, Claude, are you money in the house? Are you money in school? Why are you monitoring me? Are you house master? But that was a call. I wasn't there. And sometimes I didn't go anywhere. I just like to be with the Lord. I just leave service. I said, and yet things get done around me. And yet things are difficult to get done around this, my brother. And that is because people couldn't see. They couldn't see the vision. So they could see him. They could see the person, but they couldn't see the vision. But it was the reverse for me. It is important that your vision is cast so clear. That your vision is cast so clear that angels can read it and run with it, not just men. Even angels, they will say, we know the vision of this company. We know the vision. He is always talking about his vision. He made his vision so clear that even angels can run with your vision. They know that they have a place in your vision, that you didn't just make a vision to lead men. It is very important that you can cast your vision. It is important that you can see what you will cast. So today, we are talking about what can you see? What has the Lord showed you for 2026, for your business, for your marriage, for your savings, for your bank account? You know, as little as your bank account, you can look at your bank account. I remember which years ago, I would say to myself, how is it possible that at the end of the month, every end of the month, my bank account will always remain 1,350 naira? Before they pay the next salary, it will be 1,350 in such a way that I can only remove 300 naira from the whole account because I cannot take the last 1,000. So by the time they are paying next salary, I will have that 300 naira, that it will be the emergency money that I will have after paying all my bills, after paying all the bills, I will have paid all the bills, transportation, both fuel into the car, buy full tank, I will buy gas, buy everything, so that at least things will be available at home, and then the cash that is left between will be 1,350 naira. So that if anything happens, if my tire decides that it was not going to hear the word of the Lord, that it was going to let go of hair instead of holding hair, I will have to take out of my 350 naira to repair the tire and to put hair back into it. So those days I will be very careful so that I do not incur any form of expenses, because I wouldn't be able to take care of them. And then one day I said, I cannot be living like this. There's no leeway. God forbid that there is an emergency. Of course, the children had HMO. So if there was an emergency, I could take them to the hospital if they need, and they would get treated, and the money would then be taken out of salary later. But what of other emergencies? Nobody could come to me to say, ah, please, I need a loan of 5,000. Where will I see it? But I began to cast a vision for my finances. I will speak to the money. I will say, once the salary comes in, before I will take out the tithes, I will speak to the bulk. I will say, money, hear me very well. I'm keeping 50% of you in the account. 50% is enough to run all the bills I will run. I want to move from hands to mouth to somebody who has money for rainy seasons. I want to have for rainy days. I want to have money for rainy days. I began to cast a vision for my finances. And as I would speak to my finances, and then I begin to spend, I will be deliberately conscious. That's where I'm going. A deliberate consciousness to ensure that the words that I spoke are not just empty words. Let me say that again. Some of us, you will say, from today, I will no longer go to this person's house. You will say it in your room. Ha! Oh my God, they insulted me in this place today. Oh my God. Is that what my friend? See the way my friend was making jest of me and all the other friends were laughing at me. See. They made me feel so hard. No. This girl is not my friend. I don't want to talk to her again. I will never visit her house again. You have said it with your mouth. You are casting a vision for yourself. And in that vision, you are saying, I'm removing this entity from my future, from my story. This person does not feature. This person does not love me. This person does not like me. This person is not good to me. You can see the truth. You have the evidence. You've made up your mind that going forward, I'm parting way with Lot. Lot is living my life. Lot is living my life. You said so. Then the next day, Lot comes back. And Lot says, but we are just joking now. You take this too seriously. You are so sensitive. Why are you so sensitive? I was just joking with my friends. I said, look at her. She has nobody in her life and she's talking. And then they laughed. Why are you not angry? Why are you not angry? It's not fair. They are, okay, I'm sorry. But yeah, I miss you. Come, let's work it together again. And you that said, God has parted me with lots. You that said, if I have a future and a hope, Lot will not be a part of it. You that casted a vision, you said to yourself, you said, in this vision of my future, these things will no longer feature. You'll find yourself going back to it. You see? And then you wonder how, at the end of that year, nothing has improved in your life. You know, people want things to happen for them magically. They do not want to take the necessary decisions to turn things around. They want things to happen just like a miracle from heaven without any effort. Well, that was how it happened for Joseph. Joseph became a master at the interpretation of dreams. He became a master at hard work and diligence. He became a master at distribution of prison ration. The Bible said they put him in charge. He will be the one in charge of how they were sharing food in prison, of who gets what, of making sure that everybody gets enough to eat. These were the experiences he was acquiring, so that when he became a prime minister, he used the same experience to ration food for the whole of Egypt. So when you look at it from the realistic perspective, Joseph did a lot of hard work that gave him the prerequisite experience plus the wisdom of God in order to get to where he got to. There was a vision for him, but then there are steps he took in order that when it was time for him to fulfill the vision, he was able to fulfill it. There are people that they will give the opportunity, and I kid you not, that they will tell them, come and give us counsel. And Joseph said, I think you should look for a man who has the Spirit of God, who can help to govern the activities of Egypt for the next 7 years when there is plenty. He sold himself. When Pharaoh said, "Oh, then you are the one," some people will say, "Who am I?" No, let it be Brabinga. Brabinga is more suited for the role. Amen. Amen. Brabinga is more suited for the role. I'm but a prisoner. I don't have anything to offer. But Joseph did not say that. Joseph accepted it. Why? Because he had a vision that has prepared him for this. He had a vision that had prepared him for a place among the high chieftains of society. He had a vision that he was working towards to fulfill. As a Christian, predestination is at work in you. There is a thought of God for you. He said, "I know the thought that I have for you." He said, "It is a thought of good." He said, "There is no evil in it." He said, "It is to give you a future and a hope, to give you an expected end." There is a plan. There is an end. There is a place I'm taking you to, Jezebel. There is a place I'm taking you to. There is a place. I'm showing you where I'm taking you to. Like Abraham, he said to him, "This is the end game." He saw. He saw. He said, "As far as your eyes can see," Abraham was like, "God gave me the whole world. How can Abraham see the whole world?" But he could see it through the eyes of faith. And what were the steps Abraham began to take in order to take the whole world? Number one, Abraham refused to join with any nation. He stood by himself. Imagine that. In those days, you don't have to be protected. People would move to the villages. In Nigeria, for example, this is a natural phenomenon for all nations. In Nigeria, for example, Oyo State, when they created Ibadan, before the state came and the king of Oyo decided that he was going to send the army general to a place called Ibadan, which became Ibadan, people flocked there because the army, it was the army barracks, people flocked there for protection. It became the biggest, one of the biggest cities in West Africa and in Africa. As a result of that, people go to strength. People will flock there. People would go to where they think they can get the resources and the protection that would help them. There are several kingdoms in times of Abraham. Abraham decided to stay in the wilderness all by himself. There were marauders, there were raiders, there were thieves, there were killers. There are all sorts of people that could easily rob him in the desert. But he had the word of God and decided he was going to stand by himself. That was number one. Number two, Abraham then started his own language. They began to call him Abraham the Hebrew. My God, all the Chaldees was not an Hebrew place. They didn't speak Hebrew in all of the Chaldees. He decided in order to dominate the whole world, he needed to have a language. He and his household began to speak this language until they began to call them Abraham the Hebrew. The Bible said when he was going to bury his wife, by the time he was going to bury his wife and he had to make a deal for the cave at Machpelah, they were calling him Abraham the Hebrew. By that time, he had developed the language. It was part of his plan, of his visualized plan, that God is giving me a nation. My nation must not speak the language of the pagans. We must evolve our own language. And he has begun to speak the language that we call Hebrew. A lot of us today, we do not understand how some people are doing so well in tech. It's a language. Language is the key to civilization. If you are going to evolve anybody, any nation, you must give them a language. The kingdom of Jesus has a language. When we say we are speaking in tongues, people think it's just kara kara kara. No. The Bible, God gave us a language. There is no kingdom without its own language. And it's a universal language that we all speak because that language is part of how you cast your vision. You must be able to speak forth your vision clearly. You must be able to speak it for men to hear and for your ears to hear and for angels to hear that this is my mandate, this is my vision, this is where I'm going. What can you see? You are single. I think, I'm going to get married this year. That is your conviction. I'm old enough, I'm strong enough, it is time for me to get married. Okay, when it's time for somebody to get married, if it's a man, the basics, you must have a good job. You cannot still be living with your auntie and be saying, I'm planning to get married this year. No. You must have an accommodation of your own. You must have a job. You must have an accommodation. You must be able to hold on to financially, to be able to make something to feed yourself, to be able to feed your wife. These are not things you do after you get married. You know, a lot of people, they want to get married and then start doing that. So for now, they are living with somebody, but they will then move into marriage. And so they lack practice. They do not have any form of practice in how to manage the home, how to manage their finances, how to budget, how to do all the things they needed to do to get to where they are going. They don't do that. Everybody is wishful thinking. Oh, but I'm planning to be married this year. Then I say, okay, so what are you doing now? Yeah, I'm still living with my auntie. So what about accommodation? And when the wife comes, you know, we put money together, we now rent the house. Ha! My brother. My dear brother, that's not, you are not seeing right. You are not seeing right. When people don't see right, once you have a faulty sight, you are going to have a faulty perception. If everybody sees blue and you see green, and then they say, everybody look at the color, and everybody's looking, and then they say, okay, draw what you are seeing on the screen. Then you take the wrong crayon, and then you are going, or the wrong paint, or the wrong color, and you are going to paint. So everybody's color will be blue, but your own will be green. It's not because you cannot see, it is because you have seen the wrong thing. A lot of us see the wrong thing. As a result of that, we then assume that what we are saying is right because every one of us believe that what we are saying is the right thing. But it is the wrong thing. And then we do not cast it the right way. And at the end of the day, if you follow somebody who has gone wrong, you are going to go wrong too. Wrong cannot become right because somebody you love or somebody you care about, whether your father, your mother, your uncle, that you respect so much, once the person goes wrong and you do not correct your perception and you follow the person's footstep, you're also heading in the wrong direction. Doesn't matter. You cannot give an excuse that, hey, but that's how my dad used to do it. No. You have to then do better because your perspective has to be corrected by the word of God. Therefore, what are you seeing? What can you see? What can you see? You are here, you are listening to me. You said, oh, I want to get married, and you are a sister. What are you supposed to have? What are you supposed to plan for? How are you supposed to work? What are you supposed to be thinking? What's your thought process? What is your position in life? Are you carrying the Holy Spirit along? Are you talking to Him? Are you prepared? A lot of people, they want to get married, but they really are not fit for marriage. The suitor will come and they will be like the virgins who has no oil in their lamp. They cannot speak right. They are going to throw tantrums, unnecessary tantrums. I got a message today. I got it. I shared it on one of my messages and posts about a young man and a young man that wanted to get married. And the young woman really loved the young man. But the young woman did not know how to. She's not mature, even though she's old. She's in her 30s, late 30s, but she's not matured. She saw men or the picture she has of the person she wanted to be with is somebody that she would be troubling. Oh, some of us are like that. What we are like, I have a man in my life, maybe just be troubling him. Just be troubling this guy. Troubling him. The guy likes her a lot, but the guy said, I'm tired. Like, she should grow up. She's not. The guy just said, I'm not doing it again. When the guy told me, so she called first, and she was crying. She was really heartbroken. And of course, because she was heartbroken and she would only speak from her perspective, she said, I jokingly told him that I was no longer interested in the relationship. And he seized the opportunity to break up with me. And I was like, what kind of joke is that? Can't you just wake up in the morning and tell somebody, I don't want to marry you anymore? What do you expect the person to do? I expected him to beg me. I expected him to beg me to say he's sorry, to show me that he loves me. I said, how long is this relationship? She said, 2 years. I said, okay. In that 2 years, have you broken with him before? She said, yes, several times. But we always, he will come back. He will be sweet. He will come back. He will be sweet. He will tell me sorry. And then he will give me the princess treatment. And you know, it just makes me feel giddy. And I feel valued. And I feel like he really wants me in his life. And then, but this time around, he said, he said, he said, I should be going with my trouble. It is because she didn't have a vision. Because she cannot see. Because if you have a destination you are going, you would be heading in that destination. You will not be junketing here and there. You know, there are some people, you will give them a lift in your car. You are going somewhere. You are the owner of the car, you are going somewhere. You don't see this person walking. You don't say, ah, good morning, ma. Can I give you a ride? My wife can testify. We give a woman a ride. And then as soon as the woman got in the car, the woman said, increase the volume of the music. I was at the back, oh, I kept quiet. Increase the volume of, he told the driver, increase the volume of that music. Please increase the volume of that music. The driver increased the volume. I didn't say anything. And so I'm going. She said, turn right here, turn. In my car, like I didn't know you from anywhere. I didn't know you from anywhere. In my car, you're telling the driver, turn right there, turn left. Ah, in my head, I was thinking. And the first, at the slightest place where this one will say she wants to drop like this, I will not say, hey, are you going? Just come down for my car. Just come down. Just come down and be going. But she's older than me, so I kept quiet. So I eventually, when we got to a point, she said to the driver, hey, oh yeah, park. So the driver parked. Ah, thank you. She came down. So normally I would say, ha, are you okay? Do you need any other help? As soon as she closed the door of the car, I told the driver, oh yeah, move. Why? Because I was going somewhere. I was going somewhere. I didn't offer you a ride in my car. And then you will see them begin to say, hey, I want to branch. Sorry. I hope I'm not in person. Hope I'm not in person. I really want to get to the bank. Please, can you spend 10 minutes of your time to get to the bank? And you are the owner of the car. You're like, okay. Then you get to the bank, you park. She goes to the bank. She conducts her business. She comes down. Then she will say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've not had breakfast. Can I quickly, can you branch at this place? You'll be like, okay. She'll buy breakfast. She'll get back in the car. Then as I'm going, she said, sorry, please, I do not mean to indulge. I'm begging you, I'm begging you, I'm begging you in the name of God. Don't be angry. But which side are you going? Oh, I'm going to Kenya. But can you please, can you please drop me at Yaba? Can you and the person is, you are helping the person, and then the person will take your journey, will take you away from your course. I begin to take you all these places that is not part of your vision. It's not in your way. But you are just being polite. You are being kind. And you don't want somebody like that in your life. As soon as the person drops, you are going to tell us, make a mental picture that I will never carry. This woman, if I see her anywhere, I'll just act as if I didn't know she. This is the truth. Because if you have a vision, your eyes will be focused on it. I will not allow somebody who also has a vision but does not have the means to execute his or her vision to then take your own means to execute their own. I know I've spoken a lot of English. You understand what I just said? Can I see your hand? My 28 students. Do you understand what I just said? The person that has the means is running with his means, but somebody else comes and says, help me. And then the person takes your own means and he begins to use your means to execute his own project. Meanwhile, you are the owner of the means. That is not wise. Thank you for raising up your hand. I just wanted to know you are hearing. Thank you. It is very important, therefore, that the person with the vision, with the means, must have a vision. Because if you have the means, you don't have the vision, somebody else will do what they call dokimazo. Somebody else will come, and the person will then take your means and use it to achieve their end. So you will hear somebody say, I have money. I have money, but I was still planning what to do with it. Then a friend of mine came and borrowed the money. And then the person went to use it to achieve their own vision. And then you, that you have the means, but you don't have a vision or a sight, you are left with nothing. So the first thing before resources comes is vision. It is very important that you know that vision comes before resources. Resources does not come before vision. Vision will come, you will see the vision, and then you must plan for the vision. You must be deliberate about planning for the vision. That's okay. This is what God said. God said, I'm going to have a Christian secondary school where they will run a special curriculum. So God has told you, because I remember when I wanted to start a school some years back, and I had to paint the project at the moment. I wanted to start a school some years back, and some people came to me. They wanted to sell a school in Lagos, and they came to me. They were keen on me buying the school. And I said, okay, what are the properties they have? What do they have? What do they have? It was a quite a good school. And then I was looking for idea. I said, oh, who would then be the proprietors? Who will be this? What is going to be their curriculum? And they said they were doing Montessori. I said, I'm not interested. I want a gospel curriculum. I want a gospel curriculum. I want somebody to come up with a curriculum for a school. And it has to be gospel-centered, not religion. I'm not saying Bible. I said gospel. Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, not the laws of Moses, not the Christianese, no. The gospel. I want my students to be able to speak in tongues. I want them to be prophesying from school. I want it to be part of their curriculum. Their spiritual activity, 1 hour a day, they speak in tongues. Another hour, they hear the word of God. Then you add maths, English, sciences, and you put it together. And I want teachers that are sound, who can teach these things with joy in their hearts and not see it as a job. And the person I spoke with said, well, I don't get it. It's impossible. You do not have the resources. We don't have those kind of teachers yet. If you employ people now, they don't know this gospel. They're just going to come in and say they are Christian teachers. And then they will come and be informing you. People will come from different places. So we do not have the resources to have a school like that yet. Then I said, okay, I'll paint the school until later. That's why we don't have the school yet. I'm waiting for the time when we'll have at least 12, 20 teachers who know the gospel, whose life is the gospel, who can raise children. And the children will be full of the gospel. And then we can have a school. And then we can have a school. Because it doesn't fit in with my vision. And if it doesn't fit in, I'm not going to venture into it. But if I don't have a vision, I will have bought the school. I will buy the school. And then they will start running Montessori. And then I will start finding teachers. And then they will be having... And then I will not be happy because they will be doing things the way it has always been done. And I said, no, 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 no. I don't want anything like that. It is because I had a vision that I said I don't want it. I didn't want it. If I didn't have a vision, I would have done that. They were going to sell it to me for a good price. But I just felt, no, we do not have the resources to manage that school. We don't have the manpower. So you must have a vision. What do you want in your business? How do you want it to run? Can you close your eyes? Can you see it? Can you visualize it? Can you break it down into workable parts where you can easily say to this one, okay, this is your department. This one, this is your department. This is how things will move. This is how things will roll. And you have it in your head plug and play, so that when the resources come, it wouldn't take you 2-3 months to set it up. Look at Joseph. He didn't form a think tank. He didn't try to get CBN governor and all the people together to give him policies. On day one of his appointment, he had his policies down to a T. By day two, they began to build silos in cities all over Egypt. And the silos, he was building them with Pharaoh's resources. He refused to allow the people to be responsible for the silos. He was building the silos with Pharaoh's resources. And then he was buying grain from the people. He didn't tell people to come and contribute grain for free. He was buying grain from the people. He started a market board scheme where Pharaoh was the one buying all the grains, and then Pharaoh was the one controlling the price. And then he started that in time of plenty. So it was buying cheap, and then they were storing in silos, and then they were removing the older the grain, the fresher the grain, the fresh grains are saved, and then the old grains were sold, so that they reduced the risk of the grains getting spoiled. He had to deliberately put in a system. And he didn't build one silo. He built them in record time. Within a year, he had built all over Egypt. Joseph had built 22 silos. 22. All over Egypt. And they were not small silos. He was expecting the kind of harvest that would last the whole nation and the whole world for 7 years. And so as he put in the system, and the system began to work. So that by the time the years of harvest, the years of farming came, Joseph's plan was top-notch. He was the only one with the foresight, the only one with the plan, and the only one with the ability to execute it. And that didn't take small thinking, but it came from their prison experience. Because when you have been in prison, you would know how to manage. You have to use a cup of water to have your bath. Those of us who went to boarding school, some of us here, we will understand that. Some of us who went to boarding school, where they had water issues, you can have your bath with a cup of water. If you can have your bath with a cup of water, you can as well give 20 people a bucket of water to have their bath, and all of them will have their bath, and they'll be clean. They will do it. Because you've learned how to use water in the when it is scarce. So when there is plenty, you also know how to ration it. But if you do not have, if you cannot see, you cannot plan. If you cannot see, you cannot plan. My young lady that got her heart broken today, I didn't know what, we'll talk later, but that young man has told me that one is gone. And I believe it should be gone. Sincerely, I believe it should be gone. I believe that she was just wasting his time. Because she didn't have a plan. If you have a plan, you run towards it. In fact, when your resources come, that's the only thing that's in your heart. Somebody came to me. Oh, I have a music career, but I've been there. I want my song to be heard all over the world. I'd like you to pray for me. And I told the person, I said, all you need is for one song. One song. Not all your songs. One song to be accepted globally. Every other song you sing after that will begin to get global recognition too, because people are creatures of habit. A lot of musicians, they only get to break through with one song. Some can have two or three, but most, one song would be the one to push them through. However, that one song, they will push it. They will sell it. They will do the problem. They will go to the radio stations. They will talk to the DJs. They will say, play my song. They would go to the online streamers, play my song. They will buy ads. They will push that song. Once they push that song, they know the song is good. Then the other things will follow. I said, this is also how secular musicians do. Their song does not just get better. I say, no, they have the main track, Anointing of the Devil. That's why their song is all over the place. They spend a lot of money promoting their music. I said, but Christians, we don't want to promote our music. We want the world to hear it, but we don't want to promote it. We don't want to go to churches and talk about our music. We don't want to. We don't want to push it. And you have to. In the initial days, you have to. Before you can become known, you have to. What do you see? Do you see yourself singing at a global level, or do you see yourself singing at a local level? So when I shared this with the person said, oh, so I get it. I said, okay, so when I pray with you, what did I say you should do after the prayer? Then I should come up with a plan. I should push my music. I said, yes, push it. Push it. If they invite you to come sing somewhere, they say, oh, come and sing praise and worship. Play. Make sure, you know, singers have a way that when they want to sing, they will have a list on their phone. They will now have a way that those songs would enter each other so that they will continue the beat and everybody will still be happy and upbeat. Add your song, your own song, in the mix. Introduce your song to churches. Introduce it in the midst of the general songs they know. The human capacity, the human brain will buy it. Put it in. So I will talk to them. And I've seen two succeed. And I've seen one that I had very high hopes for that didn't do well. And the reason is because the person didn't push, expecting it to just come from heaven. That's not how it happens. With Awosa, did not become a household name by sitting down in Benin City or by sitting down in America. He traveled the length and breadth of the globe. He seized the limelight. He took it. He was one of the most dramatic personalities I know of, I've read about in my life. Even at the airport, he will be dramatic. Most of the time in Africa, he's very dramatic. When he goes abroad, he's a law-abiding citizen. But in Africa, he's very dramatic. And one of the reasons for that is because our people generally, because we have an oral orientation, oral culture mindset. We like to talk about things. So we needed things to talk about. We needed to talk about people. So we build people's myth and legend with our words. So therefore, somebody that really would like himself to become popular among Africans has to be well talked about. Either they are talking about him in a good light or bad light, does not matter. People need somebody to talk about. He must present himself as a target. People must talk about you. So when I say people say, I don't want anybody to talk about me, I say, you don't want to be great. That's simple as ABC. If you come from Africa, surely people must talk about you for you to be great. We have another culture. Word of mouth sells better in Africa than any other place in the world because of our culture. And so you must cast a vision. What can you see? What can you see? You want to be great? You must receive in your heart. This is what the Lord wants me to do. And then you must begin to run that race from the moment you receive it through the vision that you have casted. There is a vision that has come to you from God. God has told you, oh, I'm going to make your voice heard all over the world. Right? And you're like, okay, God has said my voice will be heard all over the world. How? Oh, well, where is the niche? Where is the problem? Where is the lacuna? Oh, the children book. Oh, nobody really bothers about teenagers. You should do something for teenagers. You should, there's a lot of, when I say what my children is now, you know, whatever, I'm the wimpy kid, all this thing, I'll just be shaking my head. Because I wish I had time. I have a lot on my hands, and I wasn't gifted in that direction. I tried writing things for children, and I found out that I couldn't, so I just left it. But there are people who naturally, they know how to write to children. They know how to write to teenagers. And many of them, they will just be having the ideas at the back of their mind. They never really execute it. They will be concerned that their life is not doing well. But that market there is open. It's a free-for-all market. Nobody knows what to do with teenagers. All of us know that. You know, from time immemorial, we didn't know what to do with teenagers. When I was growing up, it was Famous Five and the Mallory Towers and all these things that parents used to keep us in check. My mom was an avid reader, and she would buy and buy. And I will read myself, my sisters. I love especially to read. I read most of my teen years away, which I read half of it and then I caused trouble the other half. I must admit that I was a very troublesome teenager. But when I wasn't causing trouble, I was reading. So if you give me a book, I will not cause trouble. When I finish reading the book, I will start causing trouble. So my parents used to buy me a lot of books. Sometimes I read three or four and it chases a day, and three or four MIBs a day. I read them all night, all day. But it was a market that, after that generation faded, notice that people are no longer, the young people of nowadays are not in that, they are not into tech, into all these things. But even in that place, there is a place for them. There's a place to communicate, cast visions appropriately, cast it in line with the times. We must get the gospel to people. If we are going to use it online, we do it. If you are going to do it offline, we do it. If you are going to do it using tech, we must do it. If you are going to do it, we are putting it in people's phones and doing websites, we must do it. But the thing is, it is profitable for you to cast that vision and to ensure that you follow it through, because that is where the resources will come from. If you are going to do 2026, you are going to do it properly. I am going to come out of it as a success story. I'm not living from house to mouth and continuing the same old story. You have to change your approach to things. You must sit down and say, this is how this year will go. You know, we are in February now, and I'm not in a hurry at all. You will see us from March, how we'll take territories. I'm following the calendar of the Lord, and I'm not in a hurry. I'm like, everybody say, ah, we are in the new year. I'm like, oh, let them run ahead. When it's March, we'll begin. When this match will begin. By October, we close. And then everybody will count their sheaves and they will say, my God, we've gone so far. And the reason is simple. I like to meditate, I like to plan, and I like to cast vision. I like to set this I want to achieve. And I'm going to achieve them by July, August, sincerely. By July, August, I'm done. The rest, I'll just be coasting. That will say, well, guy, we saw you somewhere. You are just lounging and say, I'm done. I can retire early for the year. I don't believe in working 24 hours a day until you die. I believe that there must be a season for you to work, and you must do it well, and you must do it so well that your results will come in quickly, and at the end of the day, you are losing nothing. And this is where I'm taking you to. After today's class, take time to look at the plan of God for you. Where are you in that plan? What do you hope to achieve this year? Don't pick the things that are beyond your control. For example, if you're in the US and you have immigration issues and that you can only pray about, or you're in Canada, you have immigration issues that you can only pray about, or you have certain issues like that you can only pray about, put those ones in one box. And then while you are in that country, what can you do? I'm going to tell you something as I close. I have somebody older than me, and I've been in the US for a long time, and he couldn't get his citizenship. So one day the Lord told him that he should start doing something for kindergarten. He began to host kindergarten children between the age of 2 to 5. He started a daycare center, and they began to teach them certain languages, Swahili, Hausa, Yoruba, African languages. At least they would teach them, they would talk to, they would sing all the rhymes. Nursery, only nursery stuff, not anything adult. Nursery stuff, only nursery. So they would teach them African songs, they would teach them, they would buy all the African percussion stuff, they would put it in there. So they became very known as African people that teach African stuff. And so once a year, they will take them to the embassy, to White House for a tour. The parents will pay, then all the children will go with him, and then they will go with their team. They will go to tour the White House. So one day they went to tour the White House. The children were excited, they were shouting, they had their tour guide with them, and then the Republican Party representative was coming to see the president. And the man saw him, and the man greeted him and said, where are you guys from? He said, oh, we are doing something for, we'll take the children, we'll teach them African language and all that. And the man said, oh, What's your name? Give the man. They told the man, whispered the man that I don't have my citizenship yet. I'm just doing this too. And the man said, oh, we can fix that. And within 40 days after, he got his American passport. 40 days. The man told me himself. 40 days. He said that was how he got it, by fulfilling his vision. Then the things that seemed impossible became possible. But if you don't go out to fulfill your vision, how would you be able to fulfill the things that you cannot do for yourself? So let that sink in. It's time to give our offering. Glory to God. As we give this offering, remember that it is not for the ministry. It's an offering we give to the poor. And it's important that you obey God in that aspect. One of the things I love so much about God is that he made a provision for us to be blessed by ensuring that we bless others. It says that those who give will not lack. So your vision may look poor now. It may look as if your vision has not been funded, or that your vision is on the shelf gathering dust, or that nobody is remembering your vision, or your vision has become obsolete. Time has passed your vision. Your vision is no longer acceptable in today's society. That is possible, and that happens all the time. But there is a God who is merciful and kind, who is faithful and gracious. His hand is not shortened. He is able to bless you and turn around your story and give you a fresh vision, even when it seems that the vision you currently hold is not working. There is a God who is merciful and kind, a God who is faithful and gracious. There's a God who is merciful and kind. He is faithful and gracious. Can you please talk to him now? Tell him about that vision. Tell him that your eyes can see. Your eyes can see. You can see. And because you can see, you know you can do. You can do abundantly above, much more than we are thinking. You can do much more. You belong to the Lord. Shamale kasotia. Ramadiasus. I declare your offerings are blessed. I declare that your visions speak. There has to be speaking vision, audible visions, that they are speaking. They are speaking, and we can hear your visions. That your visions are writing themselves upon the code of time, and that the world is seeing your vision, and they are identifying the part of your DNA. Your visions will not die. They will not end up in the grave. They will not end up unfulfilled. You will not be frustrated out of vision. You will fulfill your vision. You will fulfill your days. Your job will be full. Your land will never lack water. You'll find yourself springing onto eternal life and reality of God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Blessed be God who has caused us to triumph in all things. We give him glory forever and ever. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, glory! Hey.
Glory!
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 Glory!